Okay, so if you would open your Bibles to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Now we left off on y'all's page, should be the, I think we got to the second page. Yes. So we're on the second page of y'all's copy and towards the top. Basically, we were looking at these verses in 19 through 31, and we also looked at some of the beginning verses in chapter 10 as well. And then after looking over some of that for a moment, we kind of changed gears. You know, we looked in Hebrews 3 at the idea of discouragement. Seeing how one might be discouraged. And we also looked at sluggishness that was in Hebrews 6. So we looked at those two different sections of verses. Remember we were talking about we have confidence in the accessibility or the access to God. And, you know, when we think about that, we talk about that, and then in verses 21 through 24, we see these things that we looked at, to draw near, to hold fast, consider. Excuse me. So these are things that can help strengthen us. You know, because there's a warning here, and that we see starting in verse 26 or 25, but we saw in verse 26 it says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire of which..." "and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries." And in verse 29, we see, "How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace?" That's a place no one wants to be, but it's a place that's reality. And remember, we're talking about believers. We're not talking about someone that hasn't learned the truth, but you know, we're talking about someone that knows the truth, and you can fall away from that. And so I was trying to have us, you know, consider things looking from a view of helping one another. Of how I might or we might be able to help our brethren or one another in these things. And some of the things we looked at 22 through 24. So, you know, we already mentioned verse 22. Things that we can do by helping build our brother's faith. You know, we looked to John 20:30 through 31, we're familiar with that. And so we see that we can look to the Word of God and have faith in that. You know, faith in what was shown. And let me jump over there because my brain's a little wore out from work. So it says, "Many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." And in Romans 10:17, we're familiar with it. It says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So we can have knowledge of God through the Word. And we can help build one another's faith by helping one another in that. In some ways we can do it. Well, we'll talk about it a little bit further, but we're doing it now. But we can do that by studying together, talking to one another about things concerning God. And that kind of goes into verse 23 as well. This the idea of having an unwavering hope. I can help my brother by talking about the hope that we have. And remember, we said that hope is not something that, oh, I hope this is going to happen. But it's a expectation. It's based on what's promised. And we know that God is faithful. Let's look at 10:32 for just a second. Hebrews 10:32. We see in verse 32, and you'll see it also in 36 and 38 and 9, seeing ideas of endure or endurance. And if you go back to the 12th chapter, we see it some more. Endured, endurance. Well, verse 1, endurance. Verse 2, endured. 3, endured. 7, endured. So we see this idea or the need for endurance. So how are we to have that? We see in the verses that everybody's real familiar with, the verses on faith. In Hebrews 11:1 all the way through, you see it over and over, by faith, by faith, by faith. So we can endure because of our faith. And that's what will help us to overcome anything. We, like we discussed in last class, yes, there are things in life that will happen or that can happen that might be something that could discourage us. But again, we saw how we should not be discouraged. So things can discourage us, but we can overcome if we trust in our faith and we look to God and we recognize all that He's done for us and we trust in that promise, so then we can overcome any of the things that life might have come our way. And I know that sounds easy saying it. I'm not saying there's not difficulty in these things. But when we truly believe, we know that there's more than just this life, and this life is just a vapor. It's a short period of time. And that we can endure those things. We can overcome it. in verse 24, you know, we see this idea of consider one another. And if y'all have any comments or something, just jump out there. I'm just going along. So we see this idea of considering one another. So how can we consider one another? And one thing is like what we're doing now, and it's actually one of the things that's mentioned in verse 25, the first part or second part. So it's by being here and encouraging one another. So why do we do that? Why do we have to come together to be encouraged?
Iron sharpens iron.
Okay.
Build up hope, build up faith for each other.
Okay.
Help each other out, those who are weak, those who are strong.
Okay. So there's some benefits of being together, and we recognize that because we know that who designed the idea of us coming together. And he knows a lot more than we do. And, you know, sometimes people might not recognize, because yes, you can pray or you can worship and you can do things outside of other people. But the benefit of doing it together, or several benefits, but one is the idea of strengthening one another, because we know of the common things that we trust and believe in. We might have some common difficulties that we're running into, so we can help one another overcome that. And then we help one another in growing and learning to mature. You know, as you think about some of the newer Christians, aren't you encouraged when they're here because of them wanting to try to serve and to grow? I think so. I'm encouraged by them. And also, we can flip that too. If we're one that's not here a lot, then how do we encourage them, and what do we show and teach them about our faith and what faith should mean to us? So those are things to consider, because we're considering one another. So there's so many things you could say about that, and I don't want to go too far off the track, but I think about that often when people ask, you know, why we have to assemble together. I understand people of the world might not understand why we come together and join together to encourage and strengthen one another, but it's, at least to me, it's a little, I guess the best way to say it is painful when I hear it from a Christian, because I'm not sure why we need to explain some of that. When we think about what's been done for us, we should want to be around other people that trust in God, and we should want to honor Him and show that we trust in His plan on things. And one of His plans is for us to gather and strengthen one another together. And also, you know, some might say, well, you know, maybe they might come from the viewpoint that they don't need to learn anything. Well, then maybe I can learn something from them, but they need to be up here, and, you know, without them giving input, then we couldn't learn from them. I know that's just kind of, a lot of the times, at least personally, I think those are excuses, but, you know, like I said, I'll try not to veer off too far, but some of that I just think about when it comes to assembling together. But what are some positive things? Yes, I'm sorry, Matt. Speak up. I'm deaf. So.
Barnabas is mentioned a lot. They refer to it as a son of encouragement. But a lot of times when you see him there, a lot of times most of us mention about him being the son of encouragement because he's there.
Yeah.
His presence is a huge encouragement.
Yes. And so being here says a lot for itself. Not saying that you couldn't be here and not encourage. I mean, because we still want to be in it and, you know, participate. And, you know, when we're singing to one another and praising God, then we want to be able to see one another doing that. And yes. Right, because like you said, when you see their attendance starting to slack, maybe they need encouragement. Let's look at verse 25. Yes, ma'am.
I was back to Ephesians 4th chapter, and the Holy Spirit there, you know, all the diversity of life, for the building of yourself in love. So it takes everyone. Everyone's
yes,
important. You know, sometimes you might feel like we're not important, we don't do this or we don't do that, we're not a teacher, we're not this. But everyone is important, and they need to be here and do their job, and we can all help each other grow up and grow together, you know, because what the Lord wants is us for all to grow up, to be mature.
It's interesting that it ends that way in verse 16, because when it starts at 11, you know, talking about the Christ he gave, and it gives some things, because you said, yeah, maybe not everybody are teachers or evangelists or pastors, but we all have a purpose, just like it mentions down there in verse 16. So there's a need for all of us. And the thing is, some that might be an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher wasn't always. You know, that's so if we are doing what we're talking about maturing, then, you know, possibly one day they can do that, depending, you know. So those are real good thoughts, you know, how we can be an encouragement to one another. Somebody have a hand up? Yes, sir. Go ahead, Steve. Yes, sir, good point. Yeah, I guess I didn't explain very well on John 20. Yeah, but those are good points. And when we do consider one another, and like we said in this verse, let me get back over to 10. this is the idea of assembling together, and that's not the only way we can consider one another. I think I might have mentioned in the last class, but the things that we can do outside of here to encourage and strengthen one another, because we're around others that share that same faith. So that's the kind of people that we should be spending time with, because that's how we encourage one another. We might be doing other activities, but then we can still maybe talk about things that are spiritual, and we should surely be the example that we should be to one another. And you've got a better chance of having a good example with you when you're spending time with a fellow brother or sister. It should, anyway. So those are things to consider. Somebody mentioned knowing your brother better. It might have been Don. One of the things we can do to do that is have people over. You know, when you open your home to somebody and you have them over and spend time together, then you can have an opportunity to better understand what's going on with their life, and makes it easier for you to maybe help them and strengthen them. And oh, yes, sir. Didn't see you, Jeremy.
No, I think you were absolutely saying right about saying opening your home. In this, he talks about what he wants us to do. Consider how to stimulate or to sharpen or to provoke, as in the old translation, one another to. He says love and good deeds.
Right.
And this provoking others to love and good deeds is going to require some interaction.
Mm.
You're talking about opening your home. When we're provoking one another to love and good deeds, people sometimes have a lot of excuses why they don't do this. Like, let's just take opening the home as an example. People have a lot of excuses around doing that. But, you know, I would, but this, I would like to, but if we are doing, if we're considering how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, we might be able to say, yeah, but there was a time when we had a very small house. And we used our very small house and worked out just fine. So there's a lot of things we can use for excuses, but if you're provoking one another to love and good deeds, say, yeah, you know better than that.
Yeah. Well, that's true, because I've had people invite us over, they might have a small apartment, and they had no problem opening their home. So you don't have to have a big house, a fancy house, or anything like that. It's the thought, you know, the kindness that you're, or at least hopefully it's received as kindness, opening your home to someone and having them over, and it does allow you to know your brother better, you know. Maybe some of the, and especially, you know, if you're doing it maybe on more of a small group or a one-on-one type thing, you're more likely to get them to open up and maybe share more things that are going on with you as well. That way you can, maybe they need prayers, or maybe there's things that you can do directly to help them. But all of it is things that we can do to consider one another and help one another. I think I was, yes. Yes, ma'am. And I like the way it's, well, not like, but I notice the idea where it says, you know, to provoke one another to, like y'all have mentioned, to love and good works or deeds. You know, not necessarily in, but you are at that point, but it's also you're provoking them to do things, to grow, and to be able to be a better Christian, you hope, when you're trying to spend time with others and trying to teach them. And let's look over at Romans 12:10. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." And that's kind of one of the things I had mentioned. You know, you should want to be around those that you share this faith together. And we'll look at 1 Peter also. 1 Peter 1:22. Says that you have in obedience to truth purified your souls for a sincere love. Let me start that over again. Told you it's been a long day. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. You know, we think of this preference towards one another. And I'm not saying you can't have friends that aren't a Christian, but, you know, one of the things we were talking about, the idea of, well, at least the problems the Hebrews were having was the backsliding. And if we think about it in the sense of the things that we might have come away from, when we became a Christian, you know, we too could backslide into that lifestyle, habits, whatever you want to call it. But if we are surrounding ourselves around others that have the same focus, then it should be a strength. It should be easier to veer from those things, because most definitely I'm sure you would agree that if we were around those things all the time, then of course that wouldn't be a good influence. So by surrounding ourselves with others that are going to focus on the same things, it's going to be good for us as well, and then hopefully we will be something good for them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Would not work well. I'm trying. Because, well, they are family. I mean,
it points to the fact that there's a bond of faith that may be stronger than a bond of blood.
Yes, I agree. That's Very good point, Steve. Yeah, we can easily say things, but our actions are going to speak a little louder and show proof of that. Was there any other hands or?
Romans 13, 9, well, really, 8, 9, and 10, you know, talks about loving, fulfilled, and love your brother. And it talks about ways that you can, well, it talks about the opposite. Not love your brother, and but it's all summed up in saying enabling, you know, you should love your neighbor as yourself, you know, do no harm, but obviously, you know, neither the opposite of what we're looking to do, but it's still part of the same kind of thing.
Anybody else? Okay. Let's go to Hebrews 10:25. So we were looking at this as far as how we can consider one another. And then, you know, this, to me, 25, they work right behind each other. Go together. So not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, and we've already kind of mentioned that, we can see in our own life, and also in these verses here, that you know, there's some that are not going to attend, and maybe it doesn't start off real strong, but I don't know if maybe to them it gets easier as they go, or maybe it's just because of a progression of in their thinking, and so that's a result of that. And we see how this can build to where it comes to the point of what verse 26 was talking about. You know, because then at that point it's, you know, unbelief. So the way these verses build, that's a lot what I see in it. It's ideas of warning, ways to be strengthened, and ways to use to strengthen others. Because these verses, we, of course, can use them for ourselves, but we were kind of looking at it at the aspect of how we can help others that share that faith. But that's a real good warning that we've got to be careful, because these are things that can happen to us. So, you know, yeah, it might start off with assembling less. And to others, that's an indicator usually of an issue. Not always necessarily, it depends. But it could be an indicator of an issue. And especially as that grows and just gets to a point where you're at verse 26. And then when we think about that, like we said, these were believers. And when we think of the state, when we think about the state that they're in at that point, it's not trusting God anymore. It's trusting in self, or things that just go against the very thing that they once understood. But for whatever reason, they've grown apart. And at that point, you know, it talks about their situation. It's not a good situation, you know, when it's talking about the things that the situation they're in. They no longer have God's grace and mercy. God extends that to us. But when we stop believing in that and we don't live in a way that pleases Him, and we don't live in a way that shows we trust in Him, then we no longer have that. And it's hard to think about that, because that's what it is. It's favor from God. He's allowed us to be right in His sight, and then we're warned that we can get to a spot that it would no longer mean anything. And so it's the idea that no longer trust in the Lord. And no longer feared Him, because if you know God's will on things, and you know how He handles things, then if you're putting yourself in that situation, I don't see how you could have fear any longer. Right, it shouldn't be. Right. And that's the thing, that when you say it, that's something that we should consider for ourselves. And then when we look at it at the idea of how can I help my brother, then when we talk to them about their assembling and warn them about those things, now they might not necessarily listen. But out of our love for them, and it might not be a pleasant situation sometimes. But that's when you think about the things that we do, like Steve said, it's think of it in the aspect of what you would do for your family. So when we're doing this for our spiritual family, yeah, it might not be pleasant, or it might take time, or things like that. There might be some sacrifice, if you will. But we do that because we love them, but we love them because of God. You know, that's the way He expects us to be. This is, you know, someone that is trying to serve God, and we should have that attitude towards God's people. Because He loves them. Why shouldn't we? And like I said, they won't always necessarily. They're not necessarily going to react well, or sometimes they don't even see it when you talk to them. You can talk to them about things, and they don't necessarily see a problem with it. So maybe understanding how to each person's going to be different, so knowing how to approach it. And but like I said, not saying I know. I've talked to people, but it's not always a good result. So, but we still need to have concern for them, and we still talk to them. You know, it might not go the way we like, and you know, I think I'm about to get buzzed. Appreciate all y'all's comments and bearing with me.